read some scripture for you this morning that is in your bulletin. It's not going to be on the screen. If you have your bulletin, I invite you to take it out. And I'm going to skip the first paragraph because I tried to say these words in these cities over and over again, and I don't know if I got them right or not, so I'm just going to skip it. And maybe you can read it and figure out, let me know whether you got those right or not, and we can go from there. But this is what God says in the book of Acts. And what's happening that we learn from in that first paragraph is that missionaries are traveling all over the known world at that time, and they're needing a place to go. So it says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place to pray. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded them to do so. And guess what? They did. And in today's world, that sounds absolutely nuts. Because here's what just happened. You have shown up to River City for the very first time. Somehow, in some way, whether it's through a testimony or through a word or through the band, you experience God in a powerful way. And then you come up to me, or you come up to the band, or you come up to Alicia who just spoke, and you say, hey, come stay at my house. Creeper, all right? Immediately is what goes on. Alarms start going off inside of each and every one of us. But in that day, it was a pretty normal thing. Because these people, guess what? They needed a place to stay. They were traveling missionaries that had just gotten off a boat, and they were probably going to get in a shipwreck sometime soon, because Paul got shipwrecked 4 times in his life. I don't know how that happens, but he did. He needed a place to stay, and this person, Lydia, provided the place to stay because God had done something in her life so profound. She saw an immediate need that the missionaries had needed a place to stay, and guess what? She responded. One of the things that we're talking about today is when the rubber meets the road, living a life of radical hospitality. We all have those moments in life where what we talk about really has to play out in our life. It's kind of like when the rubber meets the road, when things really matter and we have to act upon the things that we say that we believe, like in the Apostles' Creed. I'm sure it happened at one point in the race for Alicia where she didn't want to go forward. And for me, it would have been like 1.5 miles. Maybe for her, it was like 65 or something. And she had to say, I've committed to this. I have trained for this. I believe in this. I'm going to go forward. Well, guess what? It might not be in running, but at some point in your life, you're going to have one of those moments where I don't think you can go on. I think she talked about it as one of those dark moments. And it's going to go where, do the songs that you sing, the creeds that you say, the prayers that you pray, do they really mean something? Or are you going to give up? Now, sometimes those things in those dark moments, in those times where the rubber meets the road, it's just the time you need to rest. And you need to remember that you do believe in God. You do believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. You do believe in Jesus Christ. He was risen from the dead. And that same power that rose him from the dead is alive in you and is working in the things that you are facing. I hope that you believe that today. That the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is working on your behalf as well. But sometimes it's hard to believe that, isn't it? Yeah, today we're talking about this idea of radical hospitality, because that's what Lydia had. She had a radical moment where she experienced God in a powerful way, and then she acted immediately. I don't know about you, but I know about me. A lot of times what happens is I'll experience God in a really powerful way, and I'm like, I need to go do something. Or I'll be walking down the road, and I'll get a little kind of sixth sense that this person over here might need some help. And I'm like, well, they might need some help, but they could be someone that is probably not good to be around. They could be someone that I'm going to have to, like, not just help and give $5, but they're going to keep calling me and calling me and calling me and calling me and asking for more help. You see what we do as Christians, and specifically as I think American Christians? We tend to rationalize that, God really wouldn't want me to do that. God really wouldn't want me to go sit with the kid that's sitting by himself at the lunch table and give up maybe my popularity or lose a friend because I'm doing it. God really wouldn't want me to go to that person that drives me crazy at work and ask them how their day is done, because you know it's going to be like a 10 or 15, 20 minute conversation if you ask that person. God really wouldn't want me to get involved because I just don't have the time. I just don't have the feeling today. Something that Alicia said in her testimony that I'm going to say in my sermon, believe it or not, we didn't plan this. She talked about being gung-ho for God. You know, we do need to be radical for God in many ways. Now, radical, any type of religion, has gotten a really bad name in the past years. And so what I think it's done for us as kind of maybe civilized Christians is said, you know, I want to be committed to God. I want to be committed to Jesus, but I don't want to be one of these radicals, one of these people, these Jesus freaks, one of these people that other people don't want to be around because everything they do and everything that they say is about Jesus. And I wonder, have we experienced or are we experiencing on a consistent basis the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lydia experience that she experienced here? Are we seeking that and experiencing? Because if we are on a consistent basis, there's this thing that starts to grow in us. And it's not like a strobe light or a bolt of lightning. It's maybe a candle that tends to get brighter and brighter and brighter as it glows. That when we connect with that power, we want more of it. We want more of it in our lives until we desire it. And you know what happens? Taking those radical acts, like letting the missionaries into your home. You know, she could have just gone on and said, you know what, I've experienced a powerful thing today, but this moves on. Let's move on from this. Instead, she invites the missionaries into her home. And so what she's doing, she's inviting the presence of God to be experienced more and more and more in her life. One of the things I love in Matthew chapter 28, it says, what you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. What you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. And we think a lot of times, like, oh, we're getting to be Jesus for people when we serve them. But if we truly read that passage, what we find out is that we're getting to meet Jesus when we serve other people. I think that passage specifically talks about the poor. It talks about those who are hungry, those who are naked, those that are strangers, when we specifically serve them. But I also think the least of these can be other people as well, maybe that you run into on a daily basis more. I worked at a church in Atlanta, a very affluent church, and some of the biggest least of these were in that affluent church. It was the kid that never knew his mom or dad because they hired a nanny to be with them instead of their mom and dad. That kid was the least of these. It was the wife that was abused. It was the husband that was trying to climb the ladder and comparing himself to everyone else. Now, do we need to focus more on the poor than them? Probably yes. But there are people that you come in contact with every single day that need a radical Christian. They need a Lydia. They need a you that will actually feel the tug of the Holy Spirit, and then you'll act on it. You'll act on it. And here's my promise to you, because I've just experienced it. I don't know how it happens, but when you act upon the way that God is leading you, you tend to experience God more in your life. And you know what also happens? Is when you get that tap on the shoulder and you ignore it, you tend to not experience God as much in your life. It's almost like God's calling you on the cell phone. And it pops up and says, God. And you're like, oh, wow, this is a pretty important phone call. But you still have the red button and you still have the green button. And maybe you're busy, and you know, God's calling you. At least you want to, like, figure out what it might be about first. So maybe you send God the voicemail, hoping that God will leave a voicemail so that you can check it and say, okay, God wants to talk about this area of my life, so that you can call back God back and be prepared for the conversation. But you know what happens a lot of times for me is I hit the decline God a lot. And it comes more when I wake up in the morning and I could sleep 30 more minutes or I could pray. It comes more when that person that I see needs help and I don't respond. You see, radical people have the time of responding to God. And that's when the rubber meets the road, because the road is going somewhere. And we gain traction from these times that we spend with God. So what does it look like specifically with hospitality? Because Lydia literally opened her home to these people. There's another story that Jesus tells about a Samaritan. This Samaritan was walking along the way, and he sees this guy laying on the side of the road. And, you know, religious people and Christians had passed him up. And all of a sudden, the Samaritan walks up to him, and he starts to care for him, and he takes care of his wounds. He gives him a place to stay. But not only that, he goes ahead and pays for like a week, two, or three, or four. He gave a lot of money so that this guy would be taken care of. And then he gives him his phone number, and he says, "Hey, I'm just going to be over here in Samaria. If you need anything, you don't hesitate to call me, and I will be there. I will not decline your call." You see the radical side of that behavior? Now, we can't do that for every area in our life. A lot of times we like to go to the extreme and say, you know what, I am going to do that for everybody, and so I'm going to be burnt out. I'm going to hate my life in a month. That's not what God's asking you to do. I do think what God's asking you to do is saying, maybe it's that one person, maybe it's that one thing that you need to be a good Samaritan, that you need to go that extra mile and provide something in. Usually that's a door that God has opened for you, that if you open that door and you walk through it, more things will truly come to you. The other is this, is I found as we experience radical hospitality, we experience another story that Jesus told. In Luke chapter 15, I encourage you to go home and read it tonight. Jesus tells three stories that are like pretty much the same story. If you had heard these stories before, at the end of the chapter or the sermon, you'd be like, okay, Jesus, I get it. But we really didn't get it. You see, he was talking about the tax collectors and the sinners, how they were rejected by the Pharisees and the religious leaders in that day. And Jesus made the point that there was a woman who had lost a coin. And what does she do? She cleans her entire house, and she cleans it, and she looks hard because this coin was of great worth to her. And when she finds the coin, she does something gung-ho. She does something radical. She throws a party because she found a coin. Could you imagine getting an invitation to that? Hey, I found a nickel. We're going to throw a party for it. You've got a problem. You just like a party. You're going to spend more money on this party than you actually are on that's more than a nickel. Well, Jesus also tells a story about a sheep. A sheep that is lost and you can't find it. And there's 99 other sheep over here. This sheep that was lost was probably not worth that much in our minds these days. But the 99, that was worth a lot, you know, because it's a lot of sheep. So what does Jesus say? He says, the shepherd left the 99 and went and found the one. Another story of the prodigal son. He had a great son. A son that was doing everything that he should be doing. But the father was worried about his one son that was gone. As I look at that passage and I think about the lost coin, I think about the lost sheep, I think about the lost son. What happened when everything, one of them were found, there was this huge celebration. So it tells us something about the kingdom of God when it comes to hospitality. Is that there's these people that maybe we think are too far gone. Because the tax collectors and the Pharisees were those people. The tax collectors were the people that had sold their soul to the Roman government so that they could make more money on your back, or the people in those days back. And everybody thought they were too far gone. They were the sinners in those days. But Jesus said, that's someone I'm interested in. Is there someone in your life that you're thinking, man, there's no way. There is no way. I thought that about someone that was very close to me just 3 years ago, and their life is very different today. Maybe God is saying to you, hey, I want that person. I need you to start praying for that person. I need you to start being around that person. I need you to open up your home, invite them over to dinner. You're like, God, they might steal stuff. It's okay. You can go and pay for it back. The woman lost the coin because she threw the party for it and welcomed all of her friends in. Maybe that person that you've given up on today is exactly the person that God wants to show radical hospitality to. But it's not just going the extra mile. It's not just thinking of the person that is so far off. It's the daily things that we do. Everybody's provided a lunch. Everybody is provided time to get coffee. Everybody is provided time to be around other people. How can you take those times and make them truly purposeful? One of the things that I'm going to start doing, and I've said I wanted to do this in the past, is I want to have a purposeful lunch. And what that means is I'm not just going out with, you know, people that I work with or whatever, but I'm going out and having lunch with people that I want to show radical hospitality to, that I think maybe God wants to do something in their life, that I want to invest in them in another way. Are there people that you come in contact with on a daily basis that you think God is calling you to truly invest in? Because I think God's calling you to do that. But lastly, what I want us to think about as a church is one of the things that happened after Hurricane Katrina is people were displaced. You know, people had to uproot their homes because their homes were destroyed and they couldn't find a place anymore. They had to go to another town. They had to go to another family. Some of them didn't have any family, so they just found it. They said, hey, this city looks cool, and they went there. I bet because of Harvey and I bet because of Irma, there are people that are going to be in Louisville that might need a church, might need a special place. Now, what I'm not talking about is inviting them to church. I'm not talking about that. I could care less if they come to church. What I am talking about is Coon River City, maybe through Kentucky Refugee Ministries or through another agency that has that partners with relocating people in times of crisis. Coon River City adopt a family for a year. Provide for their needs for a year. Invest in their children for a year. And here's the thing. When God laid this on my heart throughout this challenge, God said, Derek, throughout this challenge, but don't you do it. All right? He said, maybe there's someone that wants to connect with God in that way. Maybe God would move in someone's heart and say, you know what? For our church, I would love to head something up like that, where there's a family that has been displaced because of a natural disaster. There's a family that has been displaced because they're new to our country for whatever reason. And maybe we could partner with a Louisville organization that allows our church to pour into the life of a specific family for a year and provide for their needs. I think that's radical hospitality, but you know what also I think that provides? It's one of those things that I promised to you that it would provide for you if you did it on an individual basis, is it becomes the identity of who we are. We're a hospitable church. We're a church that provides more than enough, for a certain situation. So I don't know if there's someone here today. They might be here next week. So I might throw this out here again next week. But I think it would be a really powerful place for when the rubber meets the road, that we could invest in a family that truly needs it. And so if you're sitting there and you're like, hey, I'd love to head that up. I'd love to research that. Because honestly, I don't even know where we do it yet. This is just an idea that's come to me. I haven't really researched it as well as I should. But maybe God's moving in your heart, and you would like to research it. And then maybe you could help organize how we could care for this family that right now is all experiencing something that's very hard. And they're wondering, is there a group of people that are going to be there to care for me? I challenge you to do it as an individual first, to the person that maybe you've given up on, to the person that maybe drives you nuts that you see at work or at school or not. But I challenge us as a church, could we be a place that offers that radical hospitality when times are going to need it? Because guess what? Times are truly going to need it. And I think if every church maybe thought about this and based off their resources could sponsor 1, 2, 3 families, think about what a blessing that would be to people who truly need it. Let's pray together. Amazing God, I thank you so much that first off, you offered hospitality to us. You offered hospitality to a group of guys that were going to desert, they're going to betray, and they were going to deny you. When you took bread, you gave thanks for bread, and you broke bread, and you said, this is my body, which is broken for you, and it's broken for everybody. It's for the forgiveness of sins. It's for new life. Every time you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me. After the supper was over, Lord, you took a cup. It's a cup of a new covenant, which said, this is my blood, which is spilled for you. Every time you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. And so, Lord Jesus, now I ask that your Holy Spirit would be poured out upon this bread and upon this cup, that it may be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body and blood of Christ. God, I also ask that your Holy Spirit would be poured out on each person here. God, that we would be challenged by the testimony today to find the way that we connect with you the best and to throw ourselves gung-ho into that. God, I also ask that we would be challenged to think about hospitality. And Lord, you offered us hospitality first, so maybe think about how we could offer those around us hospitality. God, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be poured out on us so that we might be one with you, one with one another, and one in ministry to all the world. For one day we will feast at this heavenly banquet, but God, until that day we come here. And we thank you that you invite us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll remind